Welcome to the Diverse Minds podcast, where we give you the tips, tools, and techniques you need to be a mentally healthy and inclusive leader. Each week, you'll hear about a variety of topics linked to mental health, well-being, and diversity that will enhance both your professional practice and personal well-being.
Welcome to the 115th episode of the award-winning Diverse Minds podcast. And the focus of this month is all about stress awareness and how stress can impact us in various ways and what we can do about it. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about managing adversity and how we can tackle this, especially if you're a parent. And to join me in doing this is Christine Brown Quinn. She's the founder and owner of The Female Capitalist Trademarked, an international career consultancy based in the UK, designed to share with professional women globally practical hands-on business strategies for career progression and work-life balance. As a former managing director in international finance, Christine is well versed in what it takes to forge a thriving career in highly pressured alpha environments. She's also an Amazon number one best-selling author of the book Step Aside Superwoman and Unlock Your Career Success. Christine has an undergraduate degree in foreign languages from Georgetown University and an MBA in international business from the George Washington University, where she currently serves as president of the GW Alumni Association and a member of GW's School of Business Dean's Board of Advisors. So we're delighted to have her on the show today. A huge welcome, Christine.
Thank you very much. I'm really excited to be here.
And we're really delighted to have you because I know you're fresh back from United States at your big alumni event.
Thank you. Yeah, really, really energizing.
So, Christine, I read out your bio, but I think it'd be really lovely for listeners to hear a little bit more about yourself and what you do and how you work with women and the Female Capitalist Program.
So in terms of what I do, so an author of two books, the last one, Unlock Your Career Success, which is an Amazon bestseller. And actually, I launched that in March 2020 as we were really kicking off with COVID. So the timing of that actually was a bit of a silver lining in that my audience, professional women, were at their laptop and were able to go into Amazon and buy the book. I do have a particular focus on women in business, and that is both from a kind of thought leader perspective, as well as coaching and workshops that I run for organizations. So it's very much about supporting women in the progression of their careers, sharing those unwritten roles. I mean, this is the thing. There's that whole kind of myth around, you know, work hard, and your career will flourish. You know, that's true especially in the beginning, but you need to be doing these other things like building relationships, networking, increasing your visibility, et cetera. So the other thing I'd say, Leila, in terms of what I do is, you know, my other messaging is that there are a lot of synergies between career and your personal life. And for the women that I work with, it is very much focusing on, okay, who they are, what they really enjoy, and that personal life feeds the career and vice versa.
And that's brilliant. And I talk a lot about holistic, and someone yesterday was telling me about work-life blend. So there's balance, but there's also a blend and how it'll be different for different people.
I completely agree with that. Balance is really a falsehood because life just doesn't work that way. And as soon as you might have balance for a nanosecond, but then something changes, right? Something happens in your personal life, something happens in your professional life, and then, you know, quote, that balance is no longer there. And I think blend is a really good way of thinking about it. I think also, you know, I'm a realist, and I know that on any given day, you know, that career might be taking over, or that personal life might be taking over. And the thing to think about is, okay, well, first of all, on a good day, what does that look like, and should I make changes? And the other thing I would say is, look at the big picture. You know, in general, am I happy with my life? In general, do I feel fulfilled in my personal life? Do I feel fulfilled in my career? And then, from that broader perspective, then I think it's about thinking about making adjustments. But on any given day, the reality is, you know, even that blend, it changes, right? The color can be more career or could be more personal life on any given day.
Totally. And so, you know, you worked in finance. I know you had a very full-on career, and you still do, of course. But what was your journey to becoming a career expert and empowering people to be the best that they want to be and can be?
Well, first of all, I'd say it's a complete surprise. If you had told me in the beginning of my banking career, or even throughout my career, that after that you'll be working as a career expert, I would have said, "Are you nuts?" Right? And I think even today, I see myself more as a business person than I do as a coach. I think like a business person. Obviously have learned the coaching methods, but first and foremost, I'm a business person. My journey was unexpected. So I was working at one of the large global banks, and they were setting up a women's network. And the communications director came to me and said, "Christine, we're launching this women's network, and we would like you to give a talk at the launch of this network." And I said, "Well, a couple questions. What's a women's network?" And what I realized, Layla, is I had become so comfortable being the only woman in the room that I started to become insensitive that actually we have an issue here. There are not enough women coming through the pipeline, nor at that senior level. So obviously when they explained that that's what they're trying to do, I said, I'm completely for that. And I said, "But why me?" And they said, "Well, you're a managing director and you have a family. We want to know how you did it." And again, my jaw just dropped. Like, did what? What are you talking about? So I knew I had to do the talk. It was really high visibility. It was actually sharing a platform with the then CEO. And the executive committee was going to be there. But I had to take a few days and think about like how to answer that question. And what I came to realize is that throughout my journey as an adult is whatever I learned something in my professional career, I would bring it into my personal life and vice versa. So that skill switch that sometimes we refer to. And, what would be an example of that? Especially kind of maybe home or personal into the professional life. Well, I think especially as a leader, what I realized having children is I would tell them, this is what needs to be done, or this is how you should conduct themselves. And they would catch me out. They say, "Mom, you lied. You said this, but you did that." I thought, wow, that's a great leadership lesson. Right. And at work, they don't tell you that. They will have their chats behind your back, but they won't tell you that. So I thought, communication, being clear and communicating as a leader, and then following through, doing what you say. And of course, your whole values piece comes from your personal life, and bringing that into work. Obviously, there's huge benefits for organizations in terms of people operating from a set of values. And then the other way around. Gosh, this is almost unlimited. I thought, wow, in terms of me being a good mother and daughter and life partner, I brought so many of my professional skills into play, such as problem solving, delegation, even decision making, having the approach where I think about, okay, well, what resource do I need? Who should I go to for that? That was very much kind of a work approach, tapping into other people's abilities. So that was, I did this talk and about that, and it was an aha moment. I literally had goosebumps up and down my arms and thought, wow. And a little voice in my head said, "Christine, this is what you should be doing now." So very scary. I didn't resign right away. It was a number of months. I decided to take the summer off and just kind of reset. What did I want to do? And I thought, September, I'll make a decision. September came, and again, a little voice in my head said, "Hold on a second. I keep telling my kids, take risks, go for it. The world's your oyster. And here I am being fearful." So I had to step up. And I decided, okay, so I'm going to launch a business as a career expert. And in terms of that, building that reputation, I thought, okay, well, I'll write a book about what I talked about at the launch of the Women's Network to kind of establish that expertise. And that was over 10 years ago. And here I am. So very unexpected, but I so enjoy what I do. Not that I didn't enjoy before. And also that career before enables me to be able to share, as I was saying, those unwritten rules and being able to coach people in a way where I really get the business context.
Yeah, brilliant. And I love the way you talk about, you know, bringing how children are really honest, actually, and will tell you like it is with where they won't in the workplace. It can be very political with a big P or a small P. And having that raw feedback was a real wake up call in some ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so, you know, given the lessons that you've learned and, you know, given the work that you do now, what does the term investing in well-being mean to you? For this blended approach, we're talking about work-life blend balance and being able to be your best self in your career and be your best self in your personal life as well.
Well, I think it is definitely the blend, and it is, and you said this earlier, it's very individual because we're all different. We all have different needs. We all have different interests. We all have different energy levels. And this is something that I think I've learned through coaching other women, that there are many different models, and it just kind of highlighted for me that what works for me, I know myself and I know what works for me, but there are so many different options and a way to kind of construct it. So for me, well-being is really four parts. So it's mental, it's physical, it's spiritual, and it's relational. And that relational one perhaps is less commonly referred to. And what I mean by that is that's around relationships. That's your relationships in your personal life as well as at work. And if you think about it, where in terms of getting meaning from your work, it's not, you know, the business is just a faceless thing. It's the relationships with people that really matter and are the thing that you remember. You know, now having left banking for a number of years ago, I think about the people that I might have that I helped, that I coached, that I developed, and the fun relationships that I have. They're the things I remember, not meeting budget.
Yeah, totally. and I think the sort of battles that we have in the workplace and how they don't contribute to our well-being necessarily, do they?
Absolutely.
And in your book, Step Aside Superwoman, you talk about being able, so you've touched on it really here, to be able to have fruitful career and family life. And what are the ways parents and in particular mothers can move forward with this? And that's my first part of the question. The second thing is thinking about stress and adversity. How can they manage this as a parent? What are some of the techniques or strategies that you talk about in the book that you'd like to share now?
Sure. So I think that the place to start, a good place to start, is just to stop and appreciate what that professional life or that career brings to your personal life. I think we underestimate this, and we give ourselves such a hard time because we can't always be present in the personal life. So and that they were the things that I was talking about earlier, you know, being able to problem solve, you know, being able to seek the right resources and delegating. You know, life can be really tough. You know, there are going to be challenges with your child in terms of their education or health or social issues. And if you think about it, your career has really been helping you develop those skills, which you can then use in your personal life. Let's take health as an example, right? Being able to ask questions, being able to think about, okay, do I need other opinions? Who can I talk to in my network? You know, they are all skills that you would have developed in your career. The other thing I think it's important to do is to think like a business in the sense that, okay, in your personal life, where can I add the most value and what do I enjoy doing and what does my family enjoy doing? And then kind of where is that cross section? So as a busy as a busy woman in your personal life, you don't want to be doing things that de-energize you. There's not really investing in relationships, you know, investing in the relationship, you know, the time and enjoying, you know, being present in each other's company. That's high value, right? That's a high value transaction, let's call it. Right?
Yeah,
that's high value. Whereas there's other things in your personal life that you know are less important, and also I can't be the judge of that, because there might be certain things that you enjoy doing. So it's that cross section. So let me bring this to life, a real life example. So when my older son was a teenager, he was very quiet, and he didn't share much about what was going on. And he had two siblings, and there was always competition for kind of airtime. So I thought, okay, well, what do I enjoy doing? I enjoy going to the health club. So does my son. So we decided on Thursday nights, it would be a mother-son kind of evening out. And we would drive in the car to the gym and back. And I would just listen. And he would talk the entire time from going to the gym and then back. I thought, wow, this is just wonderful. Right. He would never talk this much at home. And we both enjoyed ourselves as well. That really was a positive way to navigate those teenage world, you know, those teenage years, and really just say to my son, you know, you're important as you. So there's no competition with siblings. And I think that one-on-one time can work really well.
And it does take the stress away, doesn't it? Trying to do the guesswork. And I mean, I'm not a parent, but I can imagine, and thinking, oh goodness, you know, what's if there's something going on and they're not talking to me? And sibling rivalry again, I'm an only child, so something potentially I don't understand, but creating space for each child in a different way, because they'll all be wanting that space in a different way, and how that takes the stress from you and you're doing something enjoyable. So I think that for me sounds like a very helpful example.
Yeah, I think that's right. And again, Layla, it's just like in business, when your manager reaches out and says, I want a one-on-one with you, and they're listening, you know, he or she is listening to what you have to say, you feel valued, like I matter, right?
Definitely. And it doesn't happen enough. It, listening is such an underrated skill, I think. People want to jump in and solutionize ASAP.
Precisely. And I think it's especially in today's environment, you know, listening is a critical leadership skill, because we, you know, leaders can't know everything. Mm-hmm. So listening to others is really valuable.
And then building on that idea of leaders, workplaces, how do you think, you know, this traditional 9-to-5 Western work system, and it is shifting, I think a lot of it because of COVID and flexible working in the UK. I was just reading an article about this flexible working task group and the things that they're looking into. But how do you, if I gave you a magic wand, how do you think traditional workplaces can really change the system to enable people to invest in their well-being and minimize stress?
I really like the question, and I agree with you that COVID has forced businesses and managers to think differently. And in that sense, I think, again, it's a real silver lining, because they had no choice, right? I think that the way that the workplace needs to change is that managers need to be, you know, trained, educated on focusing on output and impact, not are you present and how you're doing the work. If I, again, using an example, I have a recent case with my coaching client, Hillary, and she was moving from a large accounting firm into industry. And she said, oh, Christine, you know, this is so scary. I had this role with the accounting firm. You know, I could work 4 days a week in the office. I always had Fridays. I'm really scared of losing that. And I said, well, you know, as a manager, you know, start interviewing, and you need to be convinced that you can do the role. The company needs to be convinced. Then you can start negotiating the how. But actually, once a manager is confident that you can do the role, the how they should be uninterested in. But it's easier said than done. So you have to kind of lead them. So she was interviewing with a FTSE 100 company. And my suggestion was, okay, as I said, be comfortable. You can do it. Have them fall in love with you. That's the expression I use. And then you negotiate. Then, you know, they want you. They want you. Then you say, and she did. She said, well, in terms of working at my best, I generally leave the office by 5. I have dinner with my kids. I will log on in the evening if need be. I have no problem managing my team, you know, throughout, you know, this is what I've done throughout my career. And the response to the hiring, the response from the hiring manager was, well, of course, you know, that I'm sure. And that's not for me to get involved. I know you got it. You know, you obviously didn't get this far in your career if you couldn't manage things, you know, that sort of response. And it really took her by surprise. And then, you know, then came COVID. And guess what? She had excellent skills in terms of managing a team. And they were going through a huge transition in terms of the reporting systems, et cetera. She was extremely successful because she was comfortable with that. She didn't need to see her team to manage. So I think that's the model that we need to move towards. But it does take a leap of faith and it takes different skills.
I think it's accepting that, isn't it, that people won't work in the same way, and that's good, and not to shoehorn people into the same way of doing things.
That's right. And people, you know, people are individuals. They have different work styles and timings of the day, even when they work at their best. And so, yeah, I think the less prescriptive we can be on the how, the more creativity, innovation, motivation, all those, you know, all those characteristics then I think can flourish.
Yeah, brilliant. And we talk about this all the time in the podcast. So this is great tips. But if you do want to go back, there are episodes on how to listen to support, if that's something you want to improve on in your leadership journey, about how to really tackle bullying, and also about more information around wellbeing initiatives that work. So Christine, how do you, as a very busy person, look after your own mental health? Would you like to share your top 3 tips?
Sure. So the first thing I would say on the mental health is, even when I was a teenager, for me, it was that physical activity. So I used to run. Now cycling is my number one way that I keep my mental health, and walking. There's something about being outdoors. And the thing about the physical, again, it's something that works for me. I remember as a teenager interviewing for a scholarship to study in Sweden for a year. And they asked me, okay, what do you do when you're angry? And I said, oh, I go for a run. You know, even at that young age, I realized, like, for me, like, that was the way I shifted my mental outlook. It was never about weight and physical health. It was about mental health and mental strength. Obviously, there are multiple benefits. And what I find, Layla, is that, again, it's not that I'm taking away from, quote, work. I find that I can, when I clear my head, ideas come to me. You know, I'm very positive and I can think, oh, you know, I could be doing this, or that's the answer to that. The other thing I would say is just reading various things that are not necessarily, quote, work related. I find, as an example, reading biographies really inspiring. So recent ones are Madeleine Albright. I've read a couple of her books. Melinda French Gates. I think in terms of something different and connecting with others' kind of personal life, you know, what is it like for them? And then I would say also, I always think about, okay, what can I do that maybe I can be doing something else at the same time? So when I cycle, I'll listen to podcasts. Yeah. And when I read, oftentimes I'll buy the books in German. I was a German major in my undergraduate degree. So I also think about that. And it's just kind of using that me time in a way where I think, wow, I really feel like I'm getting a lot out of this. And I guess lastly, so that's 2. Then the third one, I would say investing in relationships. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in your personal life and in your work, but especially in your personal life, the people that matter, you know, investing in those, you know, during COVID, you know, the phone calls with family members that, you know, we weren't able to see, and video calls, that really does energize me. And I think as humanity, another thing we've learned through COVID is it matters to a lot of people. We actually feel mentally better and stronger when we have those relationships.
Yes, and seeing people in the flesh after so long of not, it was, I think, boosted so many people's mood if they're able to do that.
It's been a real treat. I still feel like it hasn't, that newness hasn't worn off for me yet. I just, every time I see people, are also, you know, just going and being with other people in restaurants and theaters and things, you think, oh gosh, this is so wonderful.
So brilliant tips there. I love the tip about biographies. We've not had that one before, so that's a really nice one. And if you speak another language or you've learned another language, to buy books, and that's always a challenge, isn't it? It's made me think I should be doing that, but I feel a bit overwhelmed by the thought.
Well, Amazon makes it really easy. So it's really easy to do. You know, again, the benefit of technology.
Brilliant. And so, Christine, thank you so much for your time today. And I will include all your links in the show notes. But if people want to know more about you and your work, how should they contact you?
So the good thing is my name is really unusual. So if your site will come up, so Christine Brown-Quinn, I'm on LinkedIn and I'm on Twitter. You can reach me at any of those methods, and also the contact me page on the website. But it's pretty easy to find me. Just put my name in Google.
Brilliant. And thank you again so much. And I hope, listeners, you found that useful. So we've been having a really good deep dive around managing adversity, stress as a parent, as a working mother, how you can do that. And of course, creating your own signature. So a huge thank you again, Christine.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you again in the next episode. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Diverse Minds podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you access your podcasts from. You can also connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Tune into next week's episode of the podcast, where I'll bring you more insights on mental health and inclusion. Bye for now.